The US Secretary of State Rex Tillerson has wrapped up his first trip to Asia, agreeing to work with China on reining in North Korea's aggression. Yesterday, the Secretary of State met with China's President Xi Jinping as North Korea announced the successful test of a new high-performance rocket engine. Earlier, during diplomatic meetings in Japan and South Korea, Rex Tillerson called for tougher sanctions on Pyongyang, saying the US wouldn't rule out military action against the country. That call to arms falls in line with Donald Trump's America First policy, with his budget proposal, released on Friday, pledging more money for defence. Thomas Wright is an expert in US foreign policy. He heads the Project on International Order and Strategy at the Brookings Institution in Washington, D.C., and he's here in Australia as a guest of the Lowy Institute. Thomas Wright, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Thank you. It's a great pleasure to be here this morning.
Thomas, when Rex Tillerson was in Beijing, the US president tweeted that North Korea was behaving badly and that China had done little to help. How does the US and China plan to rein in the North Korea's military ambitions?
Well, the differences between the US and China on Korea are not new. There's always been a difference in emphasis. Both countries obviously agree on the dangers of the North Korean nuclear program, but they have different sort of ranking of priorities. The United States tends to be more worried about the nuclear weapons program in North Korea, and China tends to be more worried about the risks of destabilization and a collapse of North Korea if excessive pressure from their point of view is put on it. So that issue has been with this for some time. What is sort of new is that President Trump is trying to sort of ratchet up the rhetoric a little bit, particularly with the tweets and then Secretary Tillerson's comments in Asia over the last couple of days, sort of raising some uncertainty about whether or not they might be countenancing military action.
And the suggestion that they could be countenancing military action? I mean, what's your
comment on that? Yeah, I think it's unlikely. Tillerson's remarks were that strategic patience had failed and there was a need for a new approach and all options are on the table. But when you really scratch the surface there, he didn't have sort of new ideas. He was sort of really reiterating the old policy, a need for sort of coercive diplomacy for putting pressure on North Korea, but not necessarily for preemptive action. He did make a rather unfortunate remark about North Korea posing an imminent threat, which has a particular sort of meaning, obviously, in diplomacy that can open the door for preemptive military action. But it appears unlikely that he actually meant that. It seems that he might have misspoken. So we really aren't much the wiser today in terms of before his visit exactly what their North Korea policy is. And this is really reflective of a broader problem that they have sort of tough talk. They want to take a tougher stance on these issues, but they haven't really thought through the policy dilemmas or the real trade-offs and challenges about what that means.
And there's an internal tension, isn't there, in the policy? I mean, we've got the Secretary of State, as you say, talking about or raising the notion of preemptive action in North Korea, which would seem really out of bounds, certainly if there's not China's kind of support on that. At the same time, we've got, you know, the Trump administration releasing the budget blueprint, which is all about it's America's first foreign policy. So America first and preemptive action in North Korea, just as two examples, really don't go hand in hand, do they?
Right, exactly right. I mean, what the Trump administration has, I think, particularly with President Trump, is a set of visceral beliefs about how he wants to act in the world, but they are not policies. I mean, policies are when you basically resolve the internal contradictions and you figure out what this means in practice. Trump just has a sort of a set of feelings here, I think, that he's trying to express a tougher position in North Korea, but he hasn't sort of outlined what that means in practice. And as you rightly note, I mean, Secretary Tillerson's over in Asia at the moment, but the budget for the State Department has been slashed by almost 30%. And so the message and the senior appointments in the State Department have not happened yet because President Trump vetoed Secretary Tillerson's choice for his number two. And there's been problems about the mid-level appointments too. So the overall message is that diplomacy is not a priority for the Trump administration.
So what is that? Just let's talk a bit more about that. What's the message combined in a budget that boosts the defense budget by $54 billion and slashes the State Department budget by 30%, as you just told us? What does that point to?
Well, what they wanted to point to is that it's a hard power budget. It's sort of a, you know, a tough approach, a tough foreign policy approach. But what I think it does point to in reality is sort of an abdication of leadership. It's suggesting that the US can sort of defend itself and not worry too much about the tasks of diplomacy and development and the other sort of preventive diplomatic steps that are necessary to uphold the liberal international order. But it is important, I think, to note that this budget is just a proposal. So it is what the administration is proposing to Congress. Congress is unlikely to accept it, particularly the cuts to the State Department. And so I don't think this is the final word. And that gets to another reality in this administration, which is it's deeply divided between sort of a mainstream faction that wants sort of continuity and sort of a moderate sort of approach, and a more radical America First faction led by the president, and that wants a more nationalistic approach. And that tension is unresolvable and is sort of playing itself out in all of these issues and challenges.
And just to finish up on our region, a report by the University of Sydney's US Studies Centre predicts that any pivot to the Asian region from the Trump administration will mean a greater military presence rather than diplomatic investment. Is that what we're likely to see with all this defence spending? More diplomatic might on show rather than necessarily more, I mean, more defence might on show, military might on show rather than more military engagement?
Well, it definitely sort of points in that direction. But again, this has not fully played itself out yet. So the budget may not actually proceed as the Trump administration has proposed it. Secretary Mattis, the Secretary of Defense, is very aware, I think, of the need for a full spectrum diplomatic as well as military engagement in Asia. And so he will be very supportive of the State Department in that. And with General H.R. McMaster as the National Security Advisor, there's sort of a mainstreamer there who I think understands the importance of diplomatic engagement in Asia. So I think there's still still time for this to turn out fairly positively, but there is sort of a fight going on within the administration, and that fight is important, I think.
And we're speaking with Thomas Wright, an expert on U.S. foreign policy. Thomas, the meeting with Donald Trump and German Chancellor Angela Merkel over the weekend, some pretty extraordinary vision of him apparently refusing to shake her hand at the White House. What does that tell us about Donald Trump's worldview?
Well, Donald Trump has had a problem with Angela Merkel for some time. She was the only leader that he criticized during the course of the presidential campaign pretty explicitly, and he's criticized her since he was elected. And so there's not much love lost between them. But this is an incredibly important relationship, and it's important that the United States and Germany cooperate. And there were signs of cooperation in the meeting. I mean, they did agree on Ukraine. They did agree on several other issues.
Do you think he was refusing to shake her hand, or he just didn't hear?
It's unclear. He did shake her hand later on, yeah. I understand. So I think it's unclear, and I'm sure they will say that he didn't hear, and that's quite possible. But I think the fact, though, is that there was some tension in the room.
Yes.
I mean, even if he had shaken her hand, they didn't really agree on very much. The press conference was fairly prickly. I mean, his comment about both of them being tapped by the Obama administration, which elicited some very awkward looks from Chancellor Merkel, I think also reflected that they didn't agree on that much else,
yes.
You know, or certainly President Trump felt that way. But this is a crucial relationship. And I think what Germany and America's allies will be hoping for is that even though they may not get on personally, that the basic cooperation on key issues of the global economy, Ukraine and NATO can sort of stay intact. Mm. So you don't necessarily need a warm relationship to have a functioning alliance.
Thomas Wright, thank you very much for joining us.
Great, thank you.
Thomas Wright is an expert on US foreign policy. He's a non-resident fellow at the Lowy Institute and heads the Project on International Order and Strategy at the Brookings Institution in Washington, D.C. It's 8:26 on Breakfast.